What up, C3? Come on, come on, get up. Woo! Always excited to be in the house, man. I love C3. Let me ask you a question. What is it that, man, when you kind of dig down deep inside, it's like, what goes through your mind is, dude, I want that. It's maybe even the sense that I have to have that. See, all of us inside, there's times we go through our lives where there's a hunger, there's a desire of something we know we want. It's like, maybe you understand this because I've felt it many times before to where I'm reaching out for it, but it's almost like I can't quite grab a hold of it. It's just right beyond the grasp of my fingertips. Times that we lay in bed at night and can't sleep because that's all we can think about. Our heart's pounding. You know, but I don't know what it is in your life. I know, but you don't know what it is in my life. It could be job-related. Might be something about your finances. For some of us, man, it's what's going on in our family. Maybe career. I don't know, but you know. You don't know, but I know for my life. This morning, we're looking at an incredible passage in God's Word. Here's what I love about God's Word. You see, God's Word tells us that His Word is a light, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. So it kind of helps us navigate. We all know. We have those times in our lives where the halls seem so dark. And God, I just need some light switches on to know how to get down that hallway, how to grab a hold of, how to reach for that thing that I want, that I'm hungering for. This passage in God's Word helps us navigate that, helps us turn some lights on to walk through that part of our life. There's a couple passages in God's Word that's like, well, have you ever had those moments it's like, you heard about it. You're like, man, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall there to watch it go down. This is one of those passages, probably two of my favorite passages. I would have just loved to have been there. One of them that I just loved to have been there was when Moses went to the edge of the Red Sea. You remember, he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And all of a sudden, they come to the edge of the Red Sea. You can't go any further. Behind them there, they hear Pharaoh and his armies, and they're coming at him. And they can see the cloud of dust. It's like, dude, we're thinking of dying, Mo. And God says, Moses, raise your staff. And I'm sure Moses is like, huh? God said, raise your staff, Mo. And old Mo lifts up his staff, and all of a sudden, whoo! The Red Sea parts. Oh, can you imagine? He and his brother Aaron, they jumped up there like chest pounded. Yeah, woo! Dude, incredible. The passage we're going to look at this morning is one of those. It's like, I would love to get my DeLorean, put some banana peels in my flux capacitor, me and Michael J. Fox, and 88 miles an hour back to the future, and be there. This passage is when Jesus walked on the water. Now, in this passage, we know Jesus, it says that he and his disciples, they were hanging out, he and the brothers, and he sent them on. Hey, guys, go ahead and get in the boat. I'm going to come to you later. Which, I'm one of the 12. I'm like, so we're going to get in a boat. We're going to go out on the middle of water, and you come to us later? Okay. And he went up in the mountain, God's word says, Jesus, to pray. Now, they're in the middle of the night, and a storm, the sea is raging. And all of a sudden, this passage opens up in Matthew 14, verse 25. It says, shortly before dawn, it says, Jesus went to them walking on the lake. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They even screamed out, it's a ghost. Now, 12 guys, these are manly men, literally screamed out like little third grade girls, ah! It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately said, hey, it's me. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Now, in this very next verse, I really get, it's humorous in so much, which I love. You know, God's word, talk about good Bible. He just leaves it in there. Because all of a sudden, Peter said, Lord, is it you? Duh. He just said, hey, guys, it's me. You know, it's so humorous. Like my dad's like nearly 90 years old. And when he calls me, I see the caller ID. Well, see, it's my dad. Plus, I know my dad's voice. When I say hello, my dad will always say, hey, Rob, it's your dad. Really? I was kind of recognizing that voice. The caller ID looked familiar. Thanks for telling me. Lord, if it's you. Peter replied, let me come to you on the water. First light switch, so to speak, to navigate these dark halls of God, the hunger and the want and the desire of my heart is this. Ask God. You want it? Ask him. Peter did. Hey, Jesus, I want to be there with you. I want to come out there on the water. That's what I want, Jesus. You know what God's word says? In the book of James, James chapter 2, verse 3 says, you and I, we have not because we don't ask. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, ask and you will receive. God's word says in Matthew 18 that when we come to him, we need to come to him with the faith of a little child. Don't you love the innocence? They believe, yes, I can. The belief, the heart of a little child. I love, there's a series of books called Children's Letters to God. Now, here's what they did. They interviewed kids and just said, hey, if you could ask God anything, what would you ask him? And they said, here's what I ask God. I love the innocence, the straight-upness. I wrote some of these down. A little girl named Joyce, this is what she said. She said, dear God, hey, thank you, God, for the little baby brother, but what I asked for was a puppy. I love what little Nancy wrote. She goes, dear Mr. God, how do you do it? How do you love everybody in the whole world all the time? She said, there's like four in my family. I don't even like them. Little Darla said, God, did you really mean it when you said do unto others? Because if you did, yeah, my little brother is going to get it. Little Donna, she wrote, hey, God, last week at school, my teacher told us that this guy named Mr. Edison invented light. But last week at church, in my class at church, they said you did. Hey, God, did Mr. Edison steal your idea? Now, this one, I like little Larry. He goes, hey, God, right now, if you can't make me a better boy, it's okay. I'm having a good time. Little Lana wrote this. She wrote, dear God, I never feel alone anymore now that I found out about you. The innocence of a child just saying to God, what's on your heart? In the book of Hebrews, God's word tells us that when we come to God, it called it the throne of grace, when we approach him, he said, well, approach it boldly. Just grab hold and just go for it, because it says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we have one, Jesus, our high priest, who understands. We've all been there. We've all been there talking about or sharing something with somebody that we know they don't get it, right? And even though they try to give us those words of wisdom, it's like, but you've never been there. Doesn't it feel good? Yes, it does. To share something or be with someone who's walked through something we've walked through, because it's like they get it. God's word says he did. He walked through what we walked through. I remember when my wife, Tina, was pregnant with our second child, Justin, and woke up in the middle of the night. We live in Fort Worth, Texas, and, man, her water broke, and so we're headed down to Harris Hospital, downtown Fort Worth, Texas. We get there, and getting all the preparation, and, you know, the doctor's supposed to be coming, and the doctor didn't come in. It's like, when's the doctor coming, nurse? I mean, my wife's, man, her contractions are growing, and she's in pain, and can we go ahead and give her that epidural thing to where it's like, you know, you're not feeling anything, you're just kind of like, woohoo, you know? And she's like, can't do it till the doctor gets here. Finally, the doctor got there, and upon his examination of Tina, I'll never forget, he gave this doctor kind of like, I'm like, He goes, Miss Robinson, you've dilated to 10 centimeters. Now, which translates, you thinking to have a baby and you ain't getting no drugs. And all of a sudden, Tina realizes she's going au naturel, and her outward expressions begin to grow. Screams. The building was coming apart. I'm like, whoa, man, this is amazing. You know, this is a good movie, you know? And all of a sudden, this well-meaning nurse, she pats my wife's arm and says, honey, it's okay. I'm here with you. My wife literally sat up, grabbed her collar, and says, excuse me, have you ever had a baby natural before? Woo. And the nurse said, no, ma'am. She goes, well, then you can't help me. It's good to know someone's been there. You know the God's word? The shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, says Jesus wept. He cried. Just got word that one of his tight friends had passed away. Jesus, when he came out of the garden, in order for Judas to let the guards know this is who you need to arrest, for Judas to betray Jesus, he told the guards, I'm going to kiss him on the cheek. By the way, in that day, to kiss someone on the cheek was a deep, 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 deep sign of friendship. Can you imagine? The moment Jesus was kissed on the cheek by Judas and he steps back, the look that Jesus gave to Judas of like, seriously, bro? That's how you're going to do it? It might have been better if you'd have just went ahead and put the knife right in the middle of my back, bro. Oh, yeah, he understands betrayal. God's word tells us in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying and saying, God, your will be done, that he sweat great drops of blood. Medically, that can happen. You know why it happens? Your heart is pounding so much out of some fear that as the blood goes through your body and begins to circle at the capillaries, that it's filling them so much they explode, they burst, and they come out through your sweat pores. Oh, Jesus' heart was pounding. He understands. He went to the cross. He faced death itself. So God's word says, go boldly, boldly, because we have one who understands. God, I want this. Jesus, I need this in my life more than anything right now. God, this is what I'm reaching for. Ask God. And that's what Peter did. He said, man, I want to come to you on the water. And then the next verse, Jesus said, come, Jesus said. And then Peter got out of the boat. You see, we have to make a step. We got to step out. Not just about asking. You got to step out. You got to take a faith step. You can't stay where you are. You got to move to the place you know you need to move toward that. And he stepped out of the boat, began to walk on the water and come toward Jesus. You got to leave the safe zone and move into the faith zone of your life. You got to step beyond fear and what other people are saying and step into what you know it is. I need to. This is what I have to do. This is what must happen in my life. Now, that's why this moment is why I would love to have been there. See, if this would have been today, can you imagine Peter's Facebook post? Click. Woohoo! Yeah, that's water down there. Come on, somebody Instagram me. That's right. Talk about a bunch of likes. That's right. Come on. Oh, man. Stepped out on the water. Did it. Man, I loved to have been there to see that. Now, I imagine when he stepped out of the water, I think the first words that came out of his mouth, see, before Macho Man Randy Savage ever said, oh, yeah, I bet Peter went, oh, yeah. You got to step out. Now, talk about a step of faith. C3, I remember somewhere about 12 years ago, I was sitting in the coffee shop here in Orlando, Florida, with Pastor Byron. And man, his heart was pounding. His mind was racing, and he was hungry, and God was laying on his heart to start something. And he said, Robbie, I feel like God wants me to start a new work to where literally everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect, and anything's possible. God even gave him the name C3 to connect a community with Christ. That's right. The church. I remember when I left Orlando those couple, 3 days, and I flew to my next place to speak. And now, it was at a fairly large, one of the larger churches in our nation. And one of a well-known pastor across our nation. And I was sharing with him that I'd just been with Pastor Byron, who was feeling that God was telling him to step out. And he said, well, has he done it yet, Robbie? I said, no. And maybe he was sharing with me about, man, but you know he's going to encounter this, and you know this, and this is going to happen, and people are going to say this. And he said, man, get him on the phone. I go, huh? He said, call Pastor Byron up. I got my cell phone. I called Pastor Byron, and when he got on the phone, this pastor wanted to talk to him. But when I handed the phone to that pastor, you know what he told your pastor? He said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Church, I'm so glad your pastor said, I don't care what men say. I want to do what God wants. Last year, 386 people gave their lives to Christ right here at C3. This year, unbelievable. We're not even 7 months into 2017, and 286 people have given their lives to Christ. Man, church, I'm glad I have a friend, Pastor Byron, who said, you know what? Jesus, I want to be where you are. And stepped out of the boats. Well, he's walking on the water. And all of a sudden, the next verse, what happened? Oh, yeah. Took his eyes off Jesus. It's easy to do sometimes, right? Because all of a sudden we're like, oh, look, yeah, that's right. See what I'm doing? And he noticed the wind, and he was afraid. It said he began to sink. But here's the good part. You see, what we learn from this, kind of that third light switch to kind of navigate the dark halls sometime is this, is that we got to remember you, me, we can't do it on our own. There's going to be times I feel like, whoa, I got this. I am BAD, bad to the bone, but I'm not. It's like this huge asterisk of like, whoa, 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 note to self, it ain't about self. It's like this morning, I love it. I'm in my hotel room, and I'm getting my hair all ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking good this morning. That's right. Come on, son. Prop it up, you know. And I get the hair dryer. All hair dryers have that tag on it to remind you to not take it in the tub and shower with you. Hey, thanks. I was thinking I could really save some time if I took the, and we, you know, shower and, yeah, hello. Big number three is like an asterisk of saying, and Peter realized it, oh, 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 Jesus. That's right. He said, save me, Lord. In other words, I can't, you can't, we can't do it on our own. Have you ever tried? Yeah, you have. You had those wake-up calls? Yeah, you have. Yes, I have. And here's what I love. You see that next verse? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. Bam! Come on, Peter. You see, God's word says he, in Hebrews 13, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't turn his back on us. He wants to help us there to pick us up. And he looks at Peter. And I love it. Good. This is good Bible. Dude, where's your faith, bro? And he picks him up. Why did you doubt? Dude, it's me. I'm God's son. I got this. I got you. In the next verse, when they got back in the boat, man, the winds died down. And then the next verse tells us that the disciples were like, okay, we get it. He truly is the Son of God. We have to get it. We can't do this life without Jesus. I love the story of Mark Wellman. Mark Wellman had one passion, one desire in his life. That passion, that desire, that hunger was, he wanted to climb El Capitan. It's this incredible mountain face in Yosemite. Unbelievable. Any climber who's ever climbed, that is one of their, they were lived in. Well, here's the deal about Mark Wellman. Slight issue. Mark Wellman is a paraplegic. So to climb El Capitan would be beyond difficult, almost seemingly impossible. Solution. Mark Wellman has a great friend by the name of Mike Corbett. Mike Corbett knew his buddy, his friend's hunger and desire to scale El Capitan. So here's what Mike Corbett did. You know what? Mike Corbett climbed, scaled El Capitan three times to find, to navigate the best route to conquer and get to the top of El Capitan. On the fourth time, Mark and Mike together began the climb. The last section of the climb of El Capitan is the most dangerous, most treacherous. Mike knew this. And Mike knew that his friend Mark, on his own, would never be able to scale that last treacherous section. So he had specially made a harness for his friend that he helped his friend get into, that then Mike clipped the harness to where he carried his friend on his back. And they scaled that last section of El Capitan, that most treacherous, dangerous section, and made it to the top. When they got to the top, Mark Wellman literally lifted both his hands and yelled out, "I did it! I did it!" Yes, he did. Because he had a friend that helped him do that. By the way, I have a friend. You have a friend. God's word tells us that Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. That friend who is willing and was willing to lay down his life. By the way, I know my friend Jesus, he can carry me. You know why? Because he carried my cross. What is it you want? What is it that's in your life? It's like, God, I know this is what I need in my life right now. You got to ask God. You've also got to step out of the boat. But you can't forget, when it all boils down, our friend, our Savior, our God, our King, Jesus, is the one who's holding on to us, who has us strapped in on his back, carrying us in this treacherous journey of life. That's all. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No looking around as we come to close this morning. Pastor Byron is going to come and going to close out this part of the service.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe as you listen to Robbie, you recognize there's just something deep inside you that knows that today's your day. You need to take that step of faith and commit your life to Christ. You want to experience the forgiveness, the deep, unlimited forgiveness of a God who loves us so much, he invites us to call him Father. If that's where you are today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd like to commit your life to Christ, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer. You can pray it out loud or you can pray it quietly in your heart. You just pray this: Dear God, I know that I need you. So Jesus, today, I say yes to you. I say yes to forgiveness. I invite you to come into my life, forgive my sin, and make me new. In Christ's name, amen.